Okay, Alexander, let's do an update on Ghislaine Maxwell. I think that's the first time I've pronounced it correctly. Ghislaine Maxwell. Here's a title from RT. Ghislaine Maxwell asks for 5 million bail, says she's afraid of catching corona. And this was Friday. She had a court appearance. I don't know if she actually went to court or her lawyers
No,
represented
I think he was a lawyer. So I don't think she was there.
Okay, so
I may be wrong about that.
Alexander, get into this story. Just give us the background as to what's going on here. I believe she's going to make an appearance, or her legal team is going to make an appearance on Tuesday
That's right.
for the arraignment. And I believe you also mentioned before we did the video that she's put together a dream team of sorts of
Yes.
legal representation. So what's going on here?
Yes, I mean she's asking for bail. I don't personally think she has any chance of being granted bail. I mean, I may be wrong. I mean, $5 million is of course a huge surety to give, but she's got multiple passports. She was hiding for ever since Maxwell was arrested. She must be considered a flight risk. She's got all kinds of connections. I think the court would be very wrong. It would be crazy, actually, to grant her bail. And I'm confident it won't happen. If she is granted bail, by the way, that will be a very alarming signal about the direction the case is going. So we need to look at that. But I can't imagine she'll be granted bail. Now, the other thing that's happened, though I would quickly add that her point about the unhealthy conditions in prison, which is what she's saying, are entirely true. We've discussed this in another video, and we've discussed how she's been sent to this ramshackle, disease-infested, dangerous prison. We don't want her there because we want her alive so that she can tell her story. And certainly the authorities should feel that she should be put in a much more secure place. I hope that can be arranged, actually. Both, I say this not just for her sake, but for the victim's sake, because we do need a trial. We do need Maxwell telling her story, and in fact, if necessary, hopefully implicating other people in Epstein's and her crimes. So I hope she's taken out of that prison, put in a better, more secure place, but certainly she shouldn't be granted bail. Now, the Dream Team, you're absolutely right. She has instructed an extremely powerful legal team. She's brought two very, very well-known New York attorneys onto her team, and she's also looked further afield and brought in some very, very high-powered lawyers from elsewhere in the United States. Now, there are two possible ways of looking at this. One is that she's going to try and press on with this, I think, highly improbable and difficult defense that Epstein somehow was ha had this power over her and that she couldn't rebel against him. I don't think that will go anywhere. But the team, the legal team that she's constructing, the way it looks to me, particularly the emphasis on lawyers from New York, suggests that she's thinking about a deal, because the lawyers from New York are exactly the kind of people who will know the government attorneys who work at the Southern District of New York, and that should make it easier for negotiations to take place. They will know each other. So hopefully, I say hopefully, I'll just qualify that in a moment, but I believe that she's looking to cut a deal. The reason I say hopefully, I want to make this very clear to our viewers, I am not somebody who at all likes deals. In fact, I am somebody who disapproves generally of the system of plea bargaining that you have in the United States. The only reason in this case I would make a certain exception is that I would be willing to trade a lower sentence for Ghislaine for information from Ghislaine about the much more important and serious people who were also implicated. We've heard lots of names. Not going to repeat them in this program. We've talked about them in other programs, but former presidents, top officials, top people in business, top people in every walk of American life, they're allegedly involved. If they were involved in this terrible crimes, they need to be held to account. Ghislaine is the key witness to doing that if, in order to get her cooperation, she's given a reduced sentence. It's a price I personally would pay.
Now, if I have understood this correctly, she is denying the charges.
Yes, right? At the moment. Well, of course she is.
At the moment, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, she admits the charges. It's absolutely normal. I mean, if she admits the charges now, she throws away her leverage. How can she negotiate a deal if she's actually admitted the charges? So, of course, at the moment, she's pleading not guilty. I don't believe that will continue. I think, as I said, over the weeks and months, there will be contacts between the lawyers and something will be sorted out. I'm reasonably confident of this. I think it'd be reckless of Ghislaine to fight this right through. I think that would be an extraordinarily dangerous and foolish thing to do.
All right. Are you expecting anything for Tuesday during the arraignment, or is it going to pretty much run according to procedure?
I think it will run according to procedure, but we may have, from the defense, the first indications of what kind of line they're going to take in response to these charges. What I will say is this. It'll be interesting to see what they have to say, and that may be a clue as to some of the nature of the relationship between Epstein and Ghislaine and some of the sort of things that went on between them. But I do predict that eventually she will plead guilty.
Okay.
She won't on Tuesday, but I think eventually she will plead guilty in her own interests.
All right. And my final question is the speculation that they were working on a deal throughout the whole month before they caught her in New Hampshire, before they brought her in. Do you think that still holds, or do you think that they were not working on some sort of deal the last month or two, and that now they're going to start hammering out a deal?
I don't understand why, if they were negotiating a deal, why she wasn't simply arrested. I would have thought that arresting her would have given the government more leverage over her. So I'm not convinced that there was a negotiation going on. I find that difficult to understand, actually. I would have thought that if there was a negotiation, the government would have simply arrested her because, as I said, that would increase the pressure on her to plead guilty. I mean, it's very disturbing that she wasn't arrested, given that the government apparently always knew where she was. So I suspect that we're starting from scratch and this is all beginning now. The fact that she's just appointed a legal team rather confirms that, because if she'd been negotiating with the government before, I would have expected her to have appointed lawyers before, which she would have been in a position to do.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. They knew where she was all along, and they waited to arrest her. I mean, they were probably surveilling her, building their case.
Well,
she probably thought she could. We made that point that we probably thought she could ride it out until the election under the assumption that Biden would win and all this would get wiped away.
Yes, I think that was her assumption. And apparently the place she was, I think it was you who told me that just within 2 hours of Canada, crossing over to Canada. So it looked to me like a bolt hole, actually. It wasn't intended to it wasn't intended to be a place where she would stay and carry out a negotiation from. It looked to me like a place where she was going to wait things out and make herself ready to rush off to the border if things went wrong. And in fact, what happened, possibly because the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York was changed, was that she was arrested instead.
Yeah, I agree. I think the assumption we made is holding true.
Logical construction of events. But, we will find out more, no doubt, over the course of time.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right. We will wait until Tuesday.
We will indeed.
July for the arraignment. All right. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, click on that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you like this video. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar as well. Your donation really helps us out a lot. And go to the Durant shop. Pick up some magic mugs, some shirts, some polos. We've got all kinds of new merchandise.
We certainly do. We've got amazing magic mugs, new ones. These are two of our new ones. You can see them, two great English-speaking nations, the United States and Australia. And we have, by the way, more countries with flags on our mugs. We've also got mugs of, you know, smaller sizes, and this is an 11 ounce mug. Most of our mugs up to, well, all of our mugs up to now have been 15 ounce. Now we've introduced smaller ones, 11 ounce mugs, perhaps you know, perfect for your very strong Kimun tea, which I like from China, which is a very strong tea, or some of the sort of Darjeeling teas, which, you know, from India, which are really delicate. You want a smaller mug for something like that. Or you know, obviously, if you want a double espresso, it's ideal for this. Or you want to do a sort of Greek or Arabic coffee, you can use a you know, this kind of sized mug. But they're all amazing. As I said, you can see Australia here. You can see the United States here. You can also see our own magic mug with our own flag there. I've also got a British one, but that, I'm afraid, is being used at this moment by my wife, which is why I don't have it with me, for her hot chocolate, which she drinks always in the afternoon. But they are the best mugs in the world, bar none. I speak as the world expert on this. I've been drinking tea and coffee since I was a teenager. I've run through hundreds, perhaps thousands of mugs. These are the best. They are pretty much indestructible. They don't chip, crack, splinter, break, discolor. They don't fade or come out strange colors in your dishwasher. They look perfect. They look as good as new. They keep your tea and coffee and hot chocolate and cocoa or hot milk or whatever it is warm. And they keep your beer, champagne. My wife tried, by the way, a dry martini the other day. Well, you can always do it. I mean, I still prefer a martini glass for that. But anyway, but it worked. It worked. It worked really well. It keeps them all chilled and cold. So they are the best mugs in the world, bar none at all. And can I also say, it isn't just mugs we have in our shop. We also have a wonderful new range of shirts coming. Our shirts are also extremely famous, 100% cotton, fabulously made, incredibly comfortable. We've got polo shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved T-shirts. We've also got V-neck shirts, we've got tank tops. You can find them all in our shop. More coming. Amazing shirts to see. We've also, of course, got hats, hoodies, and stickers. And we've got ebooks and a constantly increasing range of them. You can find that. Find them all in our shop. You can support the Durand by buying them. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.